grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 12th and 17th verses, and from the 11th chapter, the 13th and 14th verses. Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. As I drive around Baltimore and its suburbs, I often see churches with a sign in front of them which says, "All are welcome." We too could have those words on the sign that stands in front of our church, because these words in fact express the truth of the gospel, the good news, that God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has atoned for the sin of the whole world, of every human being who has lived since the dawn of the human story, and every human being who will live until that last and great day when our risen and ascended Lord comes again in glory. All are welcome. These words also express the truth that Christ's holy church is not so much a parade ground for saints as it is a hospital for sinners who, having received the forgiveness of sin in holy baptism, are then cared for and nursed back to health through the preaching of God's word, through holy absolution, and through the gift of our Lord's body and blood in the holy sacrament. All are welcome, and so it has been from the very beginning of the church's life, when on the day of Pentecost, 10 days after our Lord's ascension, 50 days after his resurrection, they were gathered together in Jerusalem, as St. Luke tells us, people from many nations. I love that list St. Luke gives. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. All are welcome. These words are most certainly true. Yet, standing all alone, they can very easily be misunderstood and become a dangerous, soul-destroying half-truth. Because as soon as we say all are welcome, we must quickly hasten to add, all are called to repentance. All are called to repentance. And that means every human being who has ever lived or will ever live, both those who are as yet outside the church and those of us who by God's pure grace and mercy are within. But as we today remember and give thanks for the Reformation of the Church 500 years ago, we are also painfully aware of the fact that much of visible Christendom has in our day lost sight of this second truth, or to speak more accurately, of this one whole truth, the one whole truth that all are welcome and that all are called to repentance. In the gospel read on this day, we are reminded of three great preachers of repentance, of Elijah the prophet long before the coming of Christ, of John the Baptist who prepared the way of the Lord, and of Christ himself. St. Matthew tells us that John the Baptist preached, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that the Lord Jesus himself came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Dr. Luther was himself a great preacher of repentance who wrote, "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ says, 'Repent,' he means that the whole life of Christians should be one of repentance." These words, being the very first of those 95 theses, those 95 propositions intended for a debate, which he posted on the eve of All Saints' Day in 1517. The prophet of Elijah, St. John the Baptist, Martin Luther, indeed Christ himself, were all preachers of repentance. Yes, all are welcome in Christ's church, and all are called to repentance. But it's one of the great tragedies of our time that so much of visible Christendom has, in fact, lost sight of this truth. It's, of course, no secret that we no longer live in a world shaped by the truth of the Christian faith, the truth revealed in Christ. And I believe that one of the greatest symptoms of this ongoing tragedy is that much of visible Christendom has now, in fact, abandoned the Christian doctrine and practice of marriage. Marriage was instituted by God when in creation he created human beings, male and female. Marriage was blessed by the Son of God through his presence and first miracle at that wedding in Cana. Our Lord himself said, "A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." That's the clear teaching of God come in the flesh, who is himself the truth. But we now live in a society where it is very common for men and women to live together, even though they've not been joined in holy marriage. And on top of that, the highest court in our land has now made it possible for people of the same sex to be married to one another. While this may now be legal, it still remains a shocking contradiction of the Creator's will and of the truth revealed in Jesus our Lord. Luther once compared human beings to a drunken peasant who's fallen off his horse. You put him back on the horse and he falls off one side. You again put him back on his horse and he falls off the other side. And the point of that is this: there is a danger that we as Christians forget or ignore our Lord's teaching about marriage. But there is also a danger that we self-righteously condemn persons who are caught up in these arrangements, even ridiculing them, even hating them. But it's not our place as those who love and serve the friend of sinners to cast stones at people, because we, like them, are also poor sinners whose only claim on God is the blood of Christ. As those who love and trust in Jesus, our compassionate Lord, we must look with compassion on people who have managed to get caught up in these arrangements. Pray for them, for their forgiveness, and for their healing, just as we ourselves must seek God's forgiveness for our sins and for the healing of our own wounds. But what Christ Church cannot do is to dispense with God's call to repentance. Christ's church cannot say that sin is virtue, that wrong is right, that evil is good. Yes, all are welcome, and all are called to repentance. What God has in store for his world and for his church is hidden from our eyes. But come what may, we have the Word of God incarnate, our Savior Jesus Christ, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church, the little flock which lives by the forgiveness of sins. For Christ has not only atoned for the sins of the whole world through his bitter suffering and death, he's also, as we sing in one of our wonderful Easter hymns, closed the yawning gates of hell. The bars from heaven's high portals fell. So let songs of praise his triumph tell. All unseen, our risen and ascended Lord governs all things for the well-being of the church, which is his bride and mystical body, the blessed company of all faithful people. It was that great confessor of Christ, Dr. Hermann Zasa, who, preaching in his native Germany during the terrors of the Second World War, said to the congregation, "Nations pass away, but the church continues. And where there is a nation which no longer has a future, there the church still has a future, because the future of the church is the future of Jesus Christ." On the night before he suffered, in his great high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed for you, for me, and for all who believe in him until his coming again. For after having prayed for his disciples who were there with him in the upper room, he then prayed for you and for me and for all who would believe in him, saying, "Father, I do not pray for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen."